June 13th, 2017, meeting of the City of Aiken Planning Commission. Welcome to all our visitors. If this is your first visit, let me share a few of our guidelines. We will call for an application or item to be discussed, and anyone may have the right to come and speak. I will first ask those who might be in favor of the application to come forward. We'll ask that you step to the podium. Please state your name and address for the record, and then address the commission. Once you've spoken, if you would pause for a moment before returning to your seat in case any of the commissioners have questions for you. Then we'll ask for those who might be in opposition to the application to speak, and then anyone else who would like to make any other comment will certainly be welcome to do so. First order of business, though, I would like to ask everyone to please mute or turn off their cell phones out of respect for whoever might be making a presentation. All right, our first order of business is approval of the minutes of the May 9th, 2017 work session and regular meeting. Are there any corrections, changes, or additions to the minutes, fellow commissioners?
Madam Chairman, I'll make a motion, though. We go ahead and accept them, and as I made in the comment in the meeting we just had a few minutes ago, the work session, that they were excellent, some of the very best minutes I've seen. So I would make a motion that we accept the May 9th, 2017 minutes as suggested to us tonight.
Great. May I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
And one abstention due to absence.
Okay, thank you. All right, now let's proceed with new business. Application number one is a request for city services. It's application 17-50005, and the applicant is Jordan Trotter Commercial Real Estate. The owner is Mr. Farrell Holly. Is there anyone who would like to speak to this application?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Dennis Trotter with Jordan Trotter Commercial Real Estate, and we are the applicant for the item on the agenda tonight. And as y'all are aware, the property is within Aiken County and unable to be annexed because of it's not contiguous to any city property, but it's in the county. It's zoned by right for this use, and our need is to, we're here for permission to use the city's water line, which triggers the process we're in tonight, which asks that the development comply with the city's ordinances for traffic, driveways, signage, landscaping, and utility design, which we have accommodated all those and met all those conditions. And if at any point in the future the property is contiguous to city property, we will annex, and we'll make that covenant in writing as part of the transaction. And as well, if sewer becomes available in the future, we'll connect the sewer into the sewer system as well at our expense. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right. Mr. Trotter, you have seen all of the possible conditions for approval. Are there any that you have any problem with?
No, ma'am. The models almost identically. We went through the same process about a year and a half ago for a project on Hampton Avenue, and
yes,
we designed it the same way, agreed to the same conditions, and those worked well for us, and haven't had any trouble complying with the city ordinances in regards to setback signage, landscape, and access, those things. So hope to make it a successful project for everybody.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Trotter?
Mr. Trotter, would you have any objection to us adding one additional condition of approval? Possibly sewer access would be designed for future access to the perimeter of the property?
Yes, sir. We've already incorporated that into our plans that the city engineer's office has approved. And so that's a great idea and would be ecstatic to happy to connect into it in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak to this application? Not seeing any, then it's back to the commission for a motion.
I'll make it. That's fine. Madam Chairman, in reference to application number 17-50005, tax parcel 123-19-01-002, a city services request, I'd make a motion that we would recommend to City Council that this would be accepted. It is consistent with the comprehensive plan. I would add, though, under the possible conditions of approval, number 11, and that would be that they would provide sewer access designed for future access to the perimeter property line.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Trotter, you're probably familiar with the process. As you know, we are a recommending body, and so this will be forwarded to City Council with our recommendation for approval. All right. Our next item is a public hearing to consider an ordinance text amendment regarding mobile food vendors. Is there anyone present who would like to speak to this discussion? Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
My name
is Anthony Simpkins, and I have a ice cream truck. And I was wondering, I just knew you couldn't operate in the city limits. Like, when I passed through the city limits, I got my license to operate in the county. But, like, when I passed through the city limits, I see little kids be trying to stop me, but I can't stop because I can't serve them. And I was wondering if we could do something about that, like pay. Like, I have to pay every city that I go through. But I know I called up there for the city of Aiken, but they say I can't still be mobile. I have to, if I get the license, I have to post up somewhere and just serve, get permission from somebody off their property. So I was wondering if there's any way where we can do some license to be able to be mobile.
Would ice cream trucks not fall under the normal food truck vendor?
Correct. They would fall under the normal food truck vendor, so it'd be, as currently interpreted and as proposed, basically I think like you explained, you'd have to find a property to sit on for a period of time instead of being able to the way it's currently written and or proposed is to be able to roam, I guess, to get... to be able to vend. Currently it prohibits that.
Okay, what is the reason for not being able to be mobile? And how long do you have to sit at one location? Because if that's the case, see, like every location I go, if I pull over, then could I do it that way? I don't know, I'm asking.
It's been interpreted and it's written, it's with the property owner's consent.
So if you, for example, receive permission from a church to set up in their parking lot, you could do that, and you could set up for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, as long as you had permission from that church to use their parking lot. So it has to, as it's written now, and we were discussing earlier that we're leaving this relatively open-ended to look at other situations as they arise, such as yours, as they arise. But if you had permission to go and set up at Friendship Baptist and then set up, and there are enough churches in Aiken that you know, perhaps if you reached out to them, you could be able to do that, and they are in communities.
What if it's someone's house?
It's a private property that, as long as you have permission,
and
it doesn't violate the, you know, if you don't block any traffic or pedestrian walkway. I mean, you can't park, like, on the sidewalk.
Yeah, but you'd have to have I give Mr. Simpkins permission to have his ice cream truck here.
So I have to get, okay, have that.
Madam Clerk, I forgot the first part of his clerk, Madam Chair.
Sorry, I've just been promoted.
I believe part of the way the ordinance is written, is particularly here in Aiken, is that I would say roughly 80% of the city streets in Aiken are SCDOT right-of-way. And SCDOT right-of-way manuals prohibit vending from a right-of-way or sidewalk. So I believe the city ordinance was written in a way to align with that. And that might not be the case for every city that you've vended in. So that might be the difference.
Like North Augusta, I have to... Well, when you first get your business license, you have to tell them about how much you'll make, and then they got a guideline of how much you have to pay then, but then you have to pay, I think, an extra 1% sale taxes to them.
Mr. Bessley, in regards to Mr. Simpkins' original question, because you and I, think, had discussed this in a work session before, was it a safety issue, the stopping?
I think the history of it years and years ago, prior to even my employment with the City of Aiken, it was a safety issue that was brought up at that time, but I can't quote it. I don't know that.
Okay, I was just curious.
Because I know when I was young, I'm only 40, though. I'm still young, but... But when I was younger, I used to love to hear the ice cream music come.
Yeah, we did, too.
Everybody wanted it. It's no way possible that...
You know, if you were to go into a plan, I'm thinking like a Woodside, okay, where the roads are private... And if you got permission from a homeowners association, you could drive around in those streets. Those are not city streets. Those are all private. So if there is a neighborhood where there's a homeowner association that owns, you know, all the streets, then I would think that would include if you got permission to that. Would that not be?
Right, correct.
That would be areas like Jim Lakes. As well, they have an HOA.
Well, not all places that have HOA have private roads.
Yeah, that's right.
There are a number of them, but that's not one of them. You know, Woodside would be one of them, although the problem there is there aren't a lot of kids.
So I have to get permission from the owner of Woodside to...
Well, the Homeowners Association, yeah.
I believe what we're recommending to council would benefit this gentleman.
Yes.
Because now under what we're recommending to council, if council were to approve it, let's say you picked out 6 or 7 good spots in Aiken. You had permission of the landowner, whether it be Hampton and York Street right there to save a lot, and I'm just throwing this out. Let's say they gave you permission to park there. I think you'd have a tremendous following at these different places, and I think that what we're proposing is much better. Right now, you can't do it at all. So what we're doing is we're proposing to council that you would be able to, based on this ordinance, to go to private property and do it. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. You go to Mitchell Plaza, you know where that is. I mean, there's a lot of locations where I think your business would be a big draw, mm-hmm. and would be allowed under what we're... hopefully going to be proposing tonight.
It would mean an initial investment of time from you to visit these places and ask, you know, but if the children know that you're going to be there every afternoon in one spot from 3 to 4 or every afternoon or every other afternoon from 4 to 5 or then they'll come. And your riding through the neighborhood with your music will draw them to that spot, is kind of what you're...
Oh, I don't play my music because I know I can't serve them. Like, one time I have pulled over, I gave it to him because I know I can't sell it. So I don't know if I was wrong for doing that, but I did pull in the yard and I gave it to him because it's a joy to see them kids running, and I'd be like, I don't know why. But I got one more question. I got another question about Crosland Park. Because they said, they tell me to come through, they people that I know, they tell, but they, I said, no, that's the city limit. But they said they pay city and county taxes. That's what they tell me. I don't know. But I just
told you. If you live in the city, you do pay both. If you live in the city, you pay both taxes.
Oh, you pay both? Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're right, but that isn't an exception.
Yeah, I know.
We know that they would love for you to come, but as the ordinance is now, you can't. And
see, if the ordinance changed, maybe there's somebody there in the Crosland Park area. Maybe, and I don't know, the apartments. Maybe someone would grant you permission to be in that parking lot. You turn the music on, and you'll have the magnet right there. So what we're proposing to City Council, I think, would certainly help you.
Okay.
So, it would be a little bit of a shift in the way that you're thinking about your business. Rather than you going to them, it's you being one place and letting them come to you.
Like you said, apartments. Okay, with the apartments, who do I have to get permission from?
The ordinance that we're recommending right now, that you would have to have the property owner, correct me?
Oh, property owner.
The property owner's permission, and you're welcome to get a copy of this out there in the hallway, but what we're recommending is laid out pretty specific about what you have to have and what you have to do. And we're only a recommending body, but that's what we would recommend to council, these different things.
And many times in these apartment complexes, the manager is authorized to make some of those kinds of arrangements. So it might be faster than you might think. You could talk to the apartment manager.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Y'all gave me a good idea of how to go about doing it now.
Well, good.
Good luck.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
You can come down my street and find us.
Let us know where you're going to be.
I sell Philadelphia wood ice. It's a non-dairy product. It's better than ice cream, more healthier, and it tastes better to me.
It is.
All it is frozen flavored water, but it's not like snow cone.
Yeah.
It's more like Italian ice, but
yeah,
a little smooth.
Philadelphia based. That's good stuff.
Yes. Okay, thank y'all.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak to the issue of the mobile food vendor ordinance? All right.
Katie Lepscombe, Chairboard Place. I tried to keep track of my questions as we went. I'm not sure how good I did.
I'm sure you did fine.
First of all, I love Ryan's write-up about the entrepreneurial spirit of all this, because to me, that's what it's about. It's not about people being able to eat food. It's about lowering the barriers to entry for new entrepreneurs in Aiken, which, in my opinion, that's how we grow Aiken, because we can't bring industry into Aiken. All we can do is encourage entrepreneurship. Just based on Mr. Simpkins' comments, is it a case that we could take it and get comment from public safety and see if they think it's a safety issue anymore, if he gets a background check?
The thing that he could go through the neighborhoods, I just wanted to get back to the old-fashioned way of
doing things and ice cream trucks. Come on. I mean, so is that possible, or is that like ice cream trucks are off the table? Because I think that was one of the reasons. Jane Page is out of town, so she asked me to come. There's a group of us that have done a ton of research. I could have answered a lot of questions in there. But
well, you've got your opportunity to do it here on the record.
I think under this proposal, this proposed ordinance, he is going to be able to go down and get a license from the city. And he's going to be able to drive wherever he wants to, as long as he pulls into a private parking lot or a private home and sell ice cream. It's pretty much that simple under this ordinance that we have, that we are proposing. Now, what the city council is going to do with it and how long it's going to take to get it through, we don't know. But I think that will simplify his and all, it's, I don't think we need to differentiate between ice cream trucks and every other food vendor.
They're rolling through neighborhoods, and we're really not allowing food trucks in neighborhoods unless it's a catering truck.
Correct. The way it's written, it would have to be
the way it's written now.
The proposed ordinance, the only way it's allowed in a residential area, residentially zoned area, is if it's an event, like a private event at somebody's home. So it still would prohibit a roaming. Now, not to say that, correct, it could, if there is kind of a sponsor or something along those lines. And that was kind of my, in my discussions with Ms. Thompson, is that question hadn't come up, so that wasn't necessarily part of the scope of what was written up as part of the proposed ordinance, is that it would be kind of a more stationary residential situation than one that would be roaming and getting flagged down at as people need it.
Katie, I think to answer your question, I'm actually okay with that. I think there's some other questions that need to be addressed in that concern. I think public safety's input would be a huge step into getting that done. I do think you do run the risk of having neighborhoods or potential neighborhoods not wanting that, and so that there has to be a limit where if Mr. Simpkins knows what neighborhoods would allow that type of activity, I would be okay with allowing such, but I think there needs to be a little bit more conversation to that before it's actually approved.
And I think we would need to talk to public safety. You know, if years ago it became a problem with traffic and child safety, I can only imagine that things are worse now than they were then. But that is certainly something we could get some input on. I think, again, our focus on this proposed ordinance is really to jumpstart the process. And as we talked in our work session, you know, we're going to be reviewing it and possibly tweaking it with input, and this may be something we look at down the road. But I think it is important that we get something out there and get it started, don't you?
Mr. Bland, just real quick follow-up. Could you reiterate what the issue was with DOT roads in regards to what Mr. Simpkins was asking about?
Right. So the situation is that if it's a DOT right-of-way, the DOT manual says that commercial vending on a CDOT right-of-way or sidewalk is prohibited.
Okay.
So some research would probably have to be done as to whether that sort of situation where somebody flagging down a mobile food vehicle, I suspect it might be considered vending from a SCDOT driver, but not every road is also there are some roads that are obviously city roads that are not SCDOT roads. It's just difficult to kind of delineate those. There's ways you can do it.
We did say in here that it would not be impeding traffic, vehicular or pedestrian.
Right. So
that question was when I wanted to ask a question. There's been talk about the parkways being made more active, and that's a DOT right-of-way problem, too. So with food trucks, I mean, if that problem got taken care of, could a food truck operate in next to a parkway? I just don't know. I'm asking that question.
So my understanding is not currently, because it is a CDOT right-of-way that it would be vending from. So it'd be a situation where in the proposed ordinance, there is a section that says that upon a planning commission recommendation and public hearing, city council could adopt specific locations if they wanted to pursue so. So there's an avenue for doing that. But it'd be a situation where you'd likely have to get encroachment permits for specific locations from DOT to allow that to happen.
And, you know, here's a thought on that. I think that we all know that if you try something and it is successful, then it becomes easier to expand it and to take on, you know, changing or applying for these encroachment, which, by the way, from DOT is not the easiest thing in the world to get, as you might imagine. And so I think that probably one of the most important things is to start with a baseline, get a good, successful track record, and then we can look at expanding it to areas that might be more difficult to get permission, rather than holding up until we do that. I mean, that would just be my thought.
As a person who is in a food desert, and it really takes me an hour to go get lunch during the day because there's nothing near me, nothing.
That's true.
But you mentioned something about the railroad depot. But based on this, you would have to be parking on a public street, and that's not allowed. So
depending on the street.
But the last line in here, Ryan, I think is the catch-all that gives y'all an opportunity to break a rule. I'm not positive, but...
Which line are you referring to?
Hold on, I got a lot of paper here.
As do we.
Madam Chair, but you probably, I think you're referring, are you referring to item D?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it just seemed to me like there was where
you could assess the exceptions
and possibly...
Madam Chair, leave open the possibility as yes. If you did want to designate certain areas like within parks or things like that are
exactly.
under city control, that could be done.
Exactly. And that's in here. Because a bunch of people sent me comments. I'm not sure where all my people are, but we were here last month. They're on vacation. But one of the questions was, they were hoping that there would be pilot projects, that we could try some things, keep the data, see how it went and all.
So, what would be the mechanism to do that? Would it require a change in this? Would it be under that Part D? Would it be
so procedurally,
we talked about the food truck Friday thing in there.
So, if it's... I say there would kind of be a couple of different ways, but it would be if it's a city-owned or city-operated facility, thinking something like Rye Patch or even Newberry, the portion of under city control, the city at some point could either designate those, again, under this proposed ordinance, under a Planning Commission hearing and then a City Council approval, or where parks would control, say, I'm thinking Odell Weeks Center's parking lot, something like that, there may be a department-level policy that could be created to allow that as well. So there'd be kind of a couple different avenues that could be done, no specific locations proposed as part of this currently.
But if this is approved and City Council approves it after two readings, then... We're not saying that a pilot is a condition of this. If this gets approved, then the food vendors can start finding locations and start working.
Which they always could. I mean, I don't really see anything in here that changes a whole lot. It just clarifies a lot. There's really not any innovation in here, but I'm hoping that will come next. Because I just got back from Nashville. Holy moly. The pop-up businesses that they have there, the Daisy campers that are turned into little rolling retail stores that pop up at the farmers markets, it was amazing. It was... So I don't think we have ordinances to manage that either, which is very similar. It's just a pop... And Ryan and I have talked about this. It's just a pop-up business the way a food truck pops up. So... as far as the business license goes, we all pay so little each day that with their $25, it's fair. I mean, I operate 365 days a year, and relative to one day, that $25, I'm just sharing that's a fair, really thought it was 35, but I think mine was 35 plus each year. But if they come to town for one day and $35 comes out of the profit, then they pay a vendor fee of $50 or $100 or $150, whatever event they're going to, you have to sell a lot of tacos to cover your or barbecue sandwiches or whatever to cover your Okay, and I think my real last question is...
But Katie, that would only be if there was like a sponsored event. If you're just finding property to do it, there would not be an additional charge above and beyond the business license.
But most of our things are special events.
Yeah, but with this ordinance now...
We're getting Hatfields and everybody's like, what's the vendor fee? I got to sell a lot of tacos to cover it. So...
But with this ordinance, it would not have to be a special event.
Right. I agree that the 8 o'clock time frame, breakfast in Aiken on Sunday morning, is tough. So, I mean, if somebody was innovative and set up a pancake truck on Saturday mornings somewhere within 100 feet of an existing restaurant that's not open, they'd kill it. So I feel like the 8 o'clock's too late. But
you feel like it's too late, Katie?
Yeah.
What time would you recommend?
7 or 7:30.
Okay.
Or, you know, if there's a special event and people are leaving town. You know, people get up and leave town early, and you got to go to a Waffle House.
Do you think
there's 7 a place to eat.
Do you think 7 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, or do you think 7 a.m. across the board?
Either way. I just feel like when I talk to the food truck people, we're always trying to say, who has the breakfast trucks? Nobody really, but push carts. Every other town that I've been in that has had push carts, they've been on public sidewalks. So is there a reason we don't want to allow those? Or on, I mean, they're just little carts. Because that's another thing. Come out of the bars after 10 o'clock at night and there's no place to eat. So it would be so nice to have a bagel push cart or something, you know? Seems like there's not a lot of reference for push carts in here.
So, Madam Chair, the push carts are treated equally with any other mobile food as the way this is written, but the SCDOT prohibition on a SCDOT sidewalk within their right-of-way is what would prevent from treating that differently.
Does DOT do downtown sidewalks?
Yes, those are SCDOT right-of-way. That's the reason that for the sidewalk cafes that get set up have to get encroachment permits annually for those tables to be out there.
See, I think one of our hardships in this has been that everything we're trying to do is not within our total control. We've got DOT to deal with, and that certainly has complicated the issues.
Katie says, I always want more. Let's fight them.
And it's not that we're not with you on this and that we don't understand this. We're just trying to get something started that we can work around the regulations that DOT imposes on us. If it was up to us, it might be a very different story. And I think the message we want to share is it's not all up to us. But we're trying to figure out a way to try to make something work to get it started. As we all know, once you get something started, it becomes easier to morph that. And I think the objective here is just to get something started.
Okay. And keep on coming back and tweaking it, because what is the next step? People are going to ask me, so I'm just wanting to be able to tell them.
Well, we'll vote on it this evening to make a recommendation one way or the other to City Council, and then it will go for its two readings at City Council. And if they approve it, it'll be ready to go right away. So all this can happen within a month or so.
Okay. Thank you.
That was all? Okay, thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Cahill, and I'm the chair of Aiken Young Professionals. Just wanted to give you a little perspective from the young professional side of things. Number one, I'm so glad to see some transparency and some detail go into this, because creating at least a set of understanding of the rules, we provide a lower barrier of entry for people. So we don't say, oh, no, they're not allowed. We just know what constraints that we have now, and I think that's really important. So thank you guys for bringing this to the table. Thank you for bringing it to a vote. In general, the response from Aiken Young Professionals and the Compelling Places to Live Task Force, I won't speak on behalf of all of them there, but just in general, the theme has been in great support of entrepreneurship and business opportunities like food trucks. So I appreciate that as well. Hopefully you'll use that as a consideration in your vote. I agree the 8 o'clock time frame is a little bit too late, especially if you had an opportunity for, you know, a coffee business or something like that. That's the only major recommendation that I would have that I would change in this ordinance. But I just wanted to put it on the record that, you know, I'm happy to report that the Aiken Young Professionals and that group is highly supportive of this, and we can do whatever we can to help you guys.
Well, if we get this, then we hope that we can encourage all of the young professionals to support them and make them successful so that we'll have an opportunity to expand it. Are there any questions from the commission? Thank you for your feedback.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this issue? Yes, sir.
You said DOT is up to them. Do you think if you get them if we have to pay them a little bit, you think they'll approve?
That's right.
I think it's like what he was saying. Nobody's ever really quite sure what the South Carolina DOT has up their sleeve, but
it depends on who's in charge what day.
Yeah, or why they even wrote that. I mean, in my mind, what I see is that the DOT didn't want people coming along in a truck and throwing out a blanket and throwing a bunch of stuff on the blanket and selling it in the right of way. I mean, that's what I envision when I see the restriction. I mean, as it is, or just setting your truck up anywhere along a SCDOT. Well, many years ago, the city of Aiken turned over their streets to the South Carolina DOT in an effort to be conscientious with the maintenance and
cost.
Reduce the cost to the city of Aiken of maintaining the streets. Well, in doing that, they gave away their right, the city of Aiken did, to ownership of the streets. And so that's the catch. I mean, that's
we gave up the control over what we could do with them.
Right.
And see, so that's now why, that's why I think they might
have fooled
you, give them a little something.
Like when we get license, maybe it says $25 or $30.
Well, that wouldn't be up to us to decide. DOT would have to go with that, but I'm not sure. Although the encroachment might be the way to get them the money.
And when y'all talk to them, just tell them about
it. We'll put in a word for you.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Simpson, I do appreciate your entrepreneurial spirit. Okay. I really do.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this discussion?
Gotta love it.
Okay. All right, not hearing any, then it'll be back to the commission. We can either, I'll either accept a motion on this, or if anyone would like to have continued discussion, we can have a motion to suspend the rules, whichever you prefer. Are we ready to make a motion?
Can we suspend the rules for discussion?
Sure.
I move to suspend the rules.
May I have a second?
Second.
All right. The rules are now suspended. We're into open discussion.
So with reference to the 8 a.m. starting time, which I had mentioned earlier, too, that I thought was a bit late for some, depending on the trucks, I would rather see a little bit of, I would also like to see a little bit of leeway there. It's not saying that every truck is going to be out there. If you're selling fish tacos, I know that you're going to be a lunch vendor for the most part.
My concern with that, Susan, is the noise ordinance that we have in effect right now. Most of these trucks have a generator of some type. The noise ordinance addresses a generator specifically, and there's a time that you can use these. And if somebody, let's say this gentleman who just talked to us a minute ago, set up in Crosland Park Apartments because he has property from the owner of the apartment complex, he cranks his generator up at 6:35 or 6 whatever to get going because he's got to cook pancakes. It could be easily in violation of an ordinance we already have right now.
Could you make it a requirement that they have a low decibel generator? Because some of them are not that loud.
I think one thing to...
Some of them are loud.
Monitor all... I mean, I think...
Well, I mean,
we need to be careful that we don't make it so cumbersome to administer.
The mobile food vendors on... Under item C, number 9, says that mobile food vendors shall not provide furniture, umbrellas, generators, objects, or structures outside of the vehicle.
Yeah, where are the generators?
I can't say that. I've heard some loud generators, but I think for the most part, these generators within the confines of this vehicle or mobile food vendor vehicle, then potentially that we could... I do see the issue.
Jason, I've seen a couple of them just in the last couple of weeks in Aiken County, and they all run off of generators, and they normally put the generator in the back of the pickup truck that's pulling the trailer. And so it's in there, and it's making noise. It wasn't, the ones I heard were not outrageous. I mean, certainly not. I'm just worried about, are we recommending something to council potentially that would already be in violation of an existing ordinance that we have right now? And then last but not least, to add to that is, should we not, before we recommend anything to council, get the input of public safety? Because it's been brought up twice tonight, specifically addressing ice cream trucks or anything else. Do we need to get that input based on the recommendation we would potentially be making?
You know, one of my concerns is in proposing, because I think one of our responsibilities is to frame this in a way that will be acceptable to council. And if we're going to be proposing something that recommends a violation of an existing ordinance, that may be a potential showstopper or modifier for council. I would like to suggest that we leave it at 8 o'clock for right now because it aligns with the existing noise ordinance. And then as we get started with this, if we start getting a lot of requests from the vendors saying, you know, gosh, this is, I'm losing X number of business, and we can begin to quantify it, then maybe we can go back and redo the noise ordinance.
Yeah, well, you're still giving them an hour to set up ahead of time.
Right, so they'll be here at 7 o'clock.
Right.
If you started it earlier, then you back that up, it'd be, like you said, 6 o'clock.
But can they start selling at 7? I mean, that's the thing. If you have your, if you're selling coffee and donuts, you're up and running in 15, 20 minutes.
But if you're going to start at 8 o'clock, that means you're going to have to crank your generator up on the truck at potentially 7:30 or whenever time to get your product ready for sale at 8. So is that in violation of the existing ordinance? Right now, it potentially could be.
Well, our little 1995 Georgie Boy Pursuit RV that we had, which was our first one, had an onboard generator, and that was not loud. When it was running, it was not.
But most of the commercial ones are. I mean, you go to Aiken's Macon, and you can hear those things quite a ways away.
You know, all this sound issue is almost 100% subjective. Mm-hmm. If you're the guy who's living, and they crank that sucker up at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, and it wakes you up, it becomes a problem.
That's what's going to happen.
I agree.
They're going to call the cops.
I understand.
And then the cops are going to have to come out. They're going to have to start evaluating.
And that's what I'm saying.
The ordinance did have at one time, and I'm sure it hasn't changed. There's a decibel level, and the public safety department has an audio device that reads decibels.
I think it's
still far from it.
Oh, it's complicated.
Is there trees around? If there are no trees around,
that's right.
I mean, it's still, and that's why I say I think we just need to get started with something, and if we get a lot of positive or negative feedback, we'll adjust it. But I think we might have, just say this is in compliance and just.
Liz, we are taking, looking back, we are taking an enormous step forward.
Yes, we are.
When you look
at
that previous ordinance, now, I don't know what date it was passed, but it just flat says, you shall not sell ice cream or any other food from vehicles on any public streets of the city or from a vending machine on streets or sidewalk within the corporate limits, anywhere in the corporate limits. It just flat says it. So we're trying to cut into that, liberalize a little bit the existing rules. So it's not going to be perfect. It's really not.
And I think we need to stress it's not going to be final.
No, I agree. This whole ice cream thing, he has made me think, frankly, because I know it's restricted, so that means you can't sell it in residential areas, period. That's kind of bad. I understand the rationale, but...
But we need to focus on what we
But we need to get something in place.
Right.
I think,
right.
Liz, I agree with you.
We can tweak it.
Madam Chair, to play devil's advocate here, and I don't want to beat this up, because I think what we have here is a great starting point. I think what Bob is saying, are we recommending this to City Council for potential violation of a noise ordinance prior to, if it's an 8 a.m. start time and they have an hour to set up prior to and afterwards, can they crank up a generator?
Well, I think if we're going to be strictly compliant, we probably need to say 9 o'clock and no, or we need to say, and maybe since, to your point where you said they may only need 15, 20 minutes to crank up, maybe we need to say that the generator can't start.
Well, has anyone looked at that ordinance in years? Is it 8 o'clock? I feel confident it is.
It is 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And if we say the generator can't start till 8 o'clock, and then don't say the thing about the hour, because if they're ready at 8:15, they don't have to wait till 9.
Right. I wouldn't say anything about the generator, period. There's nothing in there about a generator. I wouldn't put it in there.
Yeah, there is something in there.
There's something
in there. The generator is specifically mentioned in one of the...
It's mentioned as an exterior...
Exterior.
Right, if you have an exterior...
Exterior generator.
I want to tell you now, the ones I saw... Just this last couple weeks had exterior generators. They put them in the back of a pickup truck and had it out to the side. I'd almost have to think that maybe in any motion that we might make that we do address generators and put some language in there that would be more adaptive to the guy that's trying to, power his food truck.
If it's on private property, how close is it going to be to a residence?
Well, it depends on what that private property is. If it's an apartment complex, as we had just discussed, I mean, it certainly is just going to be, what's the length of a parking lot? 50 feet, 100 feet?
If you think about outside the mill on Park, there's the apartments are less than 100 feet away.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be right by a house.
Right.
You can't
do those generators. You're wrong on that, I can tell you.
Because an entrepreneur could go to some apartment complex here on the south side of Aiken one or two nights a week. That'd be a great venue. You have permission of the old Fairway Ridge Apartments, and you get the owner's permission, and you're there. I'll use the word again. You could kill it because you'd be the sole guy in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So is it going to his generator going to be disruptive to the apartment complex? That's all up to interpretation.
Is that covered just under a general noise provision, though? Versus breaking out generators specifically?
Well, our noise ordinance is more comprehensive, and it does, and these hours align with.
They used to talk about when they first did that. It's been a long time, Kent. It was all about cranking your weed eater at 6:30 in the morning, going out there, and your next door neighbor's out there, and you're trying to sleep, and he's weed eating, you know, or something like that. And it was other noise, cranking the stereos up real loud, and the cars, and it was kind of broad.
Kind of. Real broad.
And there are private, privately owned developments where noise is addressed in covenants. I've seen it.
Yes.
The 8 and 9 year old.
Yes.
Nothing loud before 8 a.m. on the weekdays.
Yeah, we have that.
Sure.
We have that.
Yeah.
In our neighborhood.
Yep.
I'm okay with what we have currently, and I would say that I would be happy to move forward with such, knowing the fact that potentially several items in here could change.
Absolutely. I don't think we'd be doing this right if we didn't have that opportunity.
But I certainly don't want to see it back up to 9 o'clock right now. I think going to 7 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday would be certainly, I would certainly approve. But I think as it stands now, I'm certainly comfortable with.
Okay. What about the generator? I think that we should consider leaving
C number 9.
There's C number 9.
Because I'm concerned with that generator. The guy's got it in the back of his truck. I mean, you've got to deal with the noise ordinance. As
well, the way this is implies, you can't do that.
You can't.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Inside the vehicle.
Maybe we should read that one, mobile food vendor shall not provide furniture, umbrellas, objects, or structures. Take generators out because they all have to have that generator power. And if they don't have one built in, like her fancy motorhome.
Well, it says outside the vehicle.
But right. then you can.
Right. So you can't put it outside the vehicle.
Right. So maybe we need to delete.
No, I want it that way. I want it in the vehicle. In the vehicle that's serving the food. That's where the generator needs to be. Not on a pickup 10, 20 feet away. It needs to be in the vehicle. You don't think so?
All right, Susan wants to make a comment.
Richard, I've had this question all night in my head. There's a difference between a food truck and a pickup truck and a trailer.
That's right.
There's a difference between a food truck and a pickup truck and a trailer. And if you're talking food trucks, those generators are on board the truck.
Inside.
And because many of them are redone. That's what I bought at my little RV. They're redone RVs. They're whatevers. And the generators are inside and on board the truck. And I would and there's no. They really are no louder than a motor running.
All right, I would agree with you, Susan, on that. And I appreciate you bringing that point out because. But is this going to address the gentleman that has a trailer?
That's not a food truck.
That's not a food truck.
A food truck.
Okay, so the vehicle has got
that. It doesn't meet the definition of a food truck.
It does. It's a mobile food vehicle. Yeah, we didn't specify in the ordinance food trucks. Mobile food vendors is just, again, it's meant to capture food trucks, food trailers, push carts.
It does say food trailers, sorry. So, the generator thing should be trailers. How's a food trailer going to not have a generator? Because a food trailer is going to be the guy with the pickup truck.
Some of them might have it built in, but many of them don't. The ones I've seen,
I know they don't.
Well, even though they say they're inside, a lot of them, like, I know from just like Aiken's making and watching some of the others, I mean, they're like hanging off the back like an air conditioner sticking out the window. I mean, they're vented outside. So they are, there is noise. There is a noise factor, especially if you have more than one.
So do we need to say on the trailer that it has to be, the generator would have to be within 5 feet of the vehicle or something of that nature?
Well, then you're going to get into
it. Well, it sounds to me then that the definition of this mobile food vendor in the very beginning, we're at section 10.1.2, where we have the definitions, that's a little bit of a conflict then with number 9, C9.
Right. There's a bit of conflict there. When people think of food trucks, they generally think of one vehicle. They don't think of a pickup truck hauling a trailer.
True.
I would disagree with that. I think, yeah, I think a lot of...
I think a lot of that with barbecue.
Rightfully so. I mean, I think you can go to... Most of what comes to Aiken's making is pulled by a trailer. They're not driving them. I think what you've seen and what a lot of us have seen throughout the past 10 years that's a nationwide effect are actual vans or trucks that have been converted into mobile food units.
Right.
I don't really see a problem with a mobile food vendor, a catering truck, or a push cart, because this gives us a starting point. We have the opportunity to make changes and suggestions down the road.
Well, then if we're going to allow that, then I think we do need to take generators off of number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, and the other question I had, because when I was thinking about this earlier, did it mean trailers too? For a trailer and its truck containing its generator to only take up 3 parking spaces is... I mean, dualies and large trucks pull those trailers, and you can't...
But if he were to park his trailer in 3 parking spots and move his truck, what's wrong with that?
Well, his truck's got to be there to have to hold the generator.
Not necessarily. I've seen several of them that are mounted onto the trailer. I mean, I could put a generator...
I know, but what about the guy who doesn't have that? Then
he sets it on the ground. That's why I was recommending that we need to say no more than 5 feet.
That's why we need to take it off of here so we can put it on the ground next to the truck. He's got to move the truck.
I'm okay with taking it out, yeah.
All right. All right, any other? I feel like I've done generators to death now. What else?
Can we whip through our conclusion on the time then? Or does everybody
think
feel 8 o'clock?
We'd leave it.
I guess
leave
you have to leave at 8 o'clock and just let it go. If they
until
have
we get some
setup,
feedback.
Until we get feedback and leave it that way and then... If they're allowed to set up at 7, you know. I don't think anybody's going to come knock on their door or yell at them and say, "Ooh, you sold that cup of coffee at 7:45.
All right, well, let's not go there. Okay, any other comments on this then? So far we've got one change on item number 9.
We're just removing generators, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. The food truck comes in, he comes to the local church, he said, "I want to sell pancakes this morning on Sunday mornings." Can he take power from the church to power his trailer? It's a temporary, just a loan of electricity kind of thing.
Well, I would think if he gets permission.
I don't think there's anything in here to prevent this.
Right, so staff's interpretation is that, temporary connections
temporary
may
connection.
Be...
It's not a permanent, that kind of thing.
Correct.
Just trying to play devil's advocate.
And, you know, really, if you're going back to this analogy we're talking about with the apartment complexes, as they negotiate with the managers, then the issue might be to say, can we just plug in at 7 o'clock in the morning? I mean, that would prevent the noise issue.
Mm.
Right.
And if that works, then maybe we could, you know, I mean, I could see that being something down the road we add is if you get auxiliary power, you can start earlier, you know. I don't know if we want to get into all that right now, but that would be something, if there's enough of a demand, I think there's a way that we could work around that.
Okay.
Any other items that need adjustment here?
I move to reinstate the rules.
Second.
All right. We're now back in our regular session. And is there a motion?
With reference to the mobile food vendor ordinance, I move that we recommend said ordinance to City Council for their perusal and whatever, with one change, that in item C9 that we delete the word generator. And the rationale is because it is consistent.
No, it's not. This is just
an ordinance.
Yes. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor? All right. So this will go to City Council. with our recommendation for approval. Okay, and our final item for this evening is regarding the temporary storage containers. And the proposal before us is to adjust the time frame that they will be allowed to be used. I don't guess there'll be anybody here to talk about that, would there? Yes, sir. All right.
My name is David Zelensky. I'm the store manager of the Richland Avenue Walmart. I'm representing
the Richland Avenue Walmart and the Whiskey Road Walmart.
Okay. Anything other than what's on here that you would like us to know?
Just with the growing demand of our layaway business, e-commerce business is growing also. We're making that request to get the trailers on site starting September 1. They all wouldn't come at once. They would be
staggered
out so that based on as the volume increases closer to Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Has Walmart ever considered having another storage facility or building a warehouse, since this seems to be a yearly occurrence and it increases a little bit every couple of years, and you know the amount of time increases and the number of units increases every couple of years? Have they considered having a permanent warehouse for this, specifically for this situation?
Not at this time, not that I'm aware of.
Because there certainly are a lot of empty spaces in Aiken that could be utilized.
Right. I think it's more of a logistics thing of when the customer, you know, puts something on layaway or comes to pick it up, we need to be able to access that merchandise right away, mm-hmm. so that we have access right there on site to be able to get to it.
In this application, and there's some talk about as late as January 31st. Now, how is that going to tie in to a layaway for January 31st when the largest majority, and tell me if I'm wrong, of your layaway is intended for Christmas or for the holiday season itself? So how would that affect going all the way as far as January 31st?
We're looking for January 15th. And what happens is sometimes the trailer companies logistically can't get all the trailers up. We will empty them. We'll probably have all the trailers emptied by December 20th, but as far as them logistically being able to get to us, because there are, you know, there's a high demand for trailers, and you know, we're going to get them off the lot as quickly as possible. As we empty them, we'll call to have them picked up. So that's kind of a safety net, January 15th, because of the opportunity that sometimes the trailers companies have with coming out.
David, in regards to the storage containers, in here it states that the applicants issued a variance for having stated that solely layaway items were stored in these containers.
Right.
Is that obviously the case in
yes.
moving forward
right.
as well? Okay.
Yeah.
And there are no hazardous materials stored in them?
No. Put mostly our bulk items on there.
Toys,
bikes, ride-ons, things like that.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions, commissioners? Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this request? Okay. Then it's back to the commission for a motion.
Madam Chairman, I would move that we modify the temporary storage ordinance, applicable ordinance 4.4.3.C, to reflect the proposed changes that have been given to us by the Planning Department and listed in our memorandum 11, number 3D.
Second.
Is there a second? Is there any discussion?
Just to clarify, this goes back to the Board of Zoning Appeals, correct? I mean, we're not recommending this to council. But
this is a text amendment to the ordinance. Goes to City Council for two readings after a Planning Commission recommendation. So it's a text amendment to the ordinance.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right, then I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Opposed?
Two? All right.
Oh, I didn't oppose. Oh, you had Oscar on the hand there.
Sorry. Okay. I counted you.
I voted in favor.
All right. So all but one in favor. So this will pass our approval, and it will go to City Council for two readings. Okay. All right. There being no further business before us, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.